Earlier this week, SARS issued a statement to warn those who've been playing in the crypto markets that they will be detected. So if you've made money out of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, and South Africans seem to love this area, then be aware that you need to disclose it. We have with us Bernard Kruger, who is business area lead at South African Revenue Services. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Kruger. How popular are Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies in South Africa?
Now, we've seen an increase in the crypto assets and the crypto asset space and the transactions and so on since 2018. So currently, the indication is that about 5.8 million people is holding crypto assets.
That's a lot of people, nearly 6 million people, 10% of the population. How come it's so big?
Yeah, the uncertainty in the market in 2020 with COVID and so on, I think some people, that uncertainty caused some people to invest in crypto assets. Yeah, that's basically what we can see. I think there's a view that the crypto assets, the profits to be made there, this opportunity, and I think that this is what we've seen from a SARS perspective.
Well, Bitcoin has done well, but I guess a lot of people who are trading in it might be unaware that SARS has their number.
Yes, they might be. We've done it in 2021. We've done a crypto asset compliance exercise. What we've seen there is we've got some information from the crypto asset exchanges, some data, and we have had the foreign investment allowance information, which we could use to determine what is the compliance levels of crypto assets, all this. So what we've seen is that it's less than 10%. But the point that you're making is that that we do have the number in terms of we're getting data from third parties, and we can use that data then to check against the returns that was submitted, and we can do some actions, like compliance actions and so on that we can institute based on the information that we get from that.
Just explain to us, if you would, what a compliant taxpayer would be doing if they were trading or investing in Bitcoin.
Yeah, when we've done the compliance exercise, We've looked at the four pillars of compliance. We looked at did you submit a return? Or firstly, are you registered? So some of what we've seen is that some people that the information that we got from the crypto assets exchanges, they were not registered. Then also we're looking at do you submit your returns, and do you declare your crypto assets profits and losses, and lastly we looked at debt. Are you paying for the debt? So all those four pillars were then considered when we've done the compliance levels. So if you for a crypto asset person, they would then be required to declare their profit and losses they're making on their transactions. And that is then should be then reflect in the returns. Some of it might be capital gains, but others it's trading income, depending on the frequency of those transactions, and obviously the basically frequency with they do DeFi transactions with crypto transactions. That type of thing would then determine whether it's going to be capital or trading income. Yeah.
And let's just say somebody who is now finding out that they have been monitored, but they probably haven't been told about it yet. How do they come clean?
I think they should go back and have a look at their returns. What did they declare? Did they declare what they had to clear? Did they declare it as income? Whether it was capital or income? And then we've got the voluntary disclosure program where they can engage SARS or apply for a voluntary disclosure, get into that program to come and declare what they, if they are underdeclared or if they had, if they need to get their affairs in place, yeah.
So if somebody's been trading, let's say for the last 3 years, they haven't disclosed anything because they're under the impression that SARS doesn't know about it, or maybe they believe that it's not taxable. There is a voluntary program. Will they still be fined? Will they still have big penalties to pay if they come forward on that program?
There's probably going to be penalties, but the penalties is much less than, let's say, we auditing the person. In the voluntary disclosure program will only be applicable as long as you come forward yourself and come and declare what's not what you didn't declare. But if we institute or selected you for an audit, then that you can't come forward and make use of the voluntary disclosure program at that stage.
So if you selected for an audit, you should probably know that SARS knows more than you think it does.
That's correct. Yeah.
And for people who are now wanting to go forward and invest in crypto assets, in Bitcoin, when do they become liable to pay on that? Let's just say they bought a Bitcoin beginning of this tax year and it's gone up, but they haven't sold it, they haven't traded in it. When would they be liable to pay taxes on the gains?
When this taxable event taking place, like I earlier said, let's say there's a crypto-to-crypto transaction. You're buying a crypto from your from the current crypto that you hold. That would then trigger a taxable event. Or decentralized finance, DeFi activities might trigger a taxable event. Or you decide to just sell the crypto and get and take the money or transfer it to fiat, then that will also trigger a taxable event.
So if I understand correctly, if you bought a lot of Bitcoins when they were very cheap many years ago and you've held on to them and now they're at $60,000 and you decide to cash in some of your chips, just know that you're going to be taxed on that. How would you be taxed? How do you determine? You did mention earlier about income and capital gains. How is that differentiated?
Crypto assets or crypto is seen as an asset. So the normal asset rule will apply for in terms of taxation. So let's say you, like in your example, you mentioning that you got one or crypto assets of $60,000. Bought many years when it was cheap, and that only that's the only transaction. Obviously, that would then constitute a capital gain because you didn't trade. There wasn't frequent trades. But let's say you frequently trade frequently with those with that assets, buying selling all the time based on how the market is acting. Then that would definitely be, in my mind, be a income that will be seen as a trading profit, and you will be taxed according to that.
So that will go on top of whatever other income that you've earned in the year, not a capital gain. Mr. Kruger, a lot of people, I'm sure, who are listening or watching and saying, Yeah, but I know that crypto is untraceable, and I've done it through my offshore allowance, and I've done it through a crypto exchange overseas. Have you got a message for them, or are they pretty, are they going to be safe there in their minds?
Now, definitely there's a message. The message is that SARS is being is working on the implementation of a crypto asset reporting framework. This is in line with the current common reporting standards, which is being regulated by the Tax Administration Act, or it's being issued under the Tax Administration Act. That framework will then allow SARS to share information we get from our crypto asset or that we have in terms of our crypto assets with international or other authorities, tax authorities, and the same apply to them. What they're going to get from their they have, they will then share with us as well. So I think thinking that we can't see these transactions if you are investing internationally, I think that's the wrong view, and we will definitely be able to at some stage be able to see this and tax you on that.
There was a time when there were almost guaranteed profits for those who were arbitraging in cryptocurrencies, and we even had a guy on one of our radio programs telling us how easy it was, that people would give them money, 10,000, 100,000 rand, whatever. They would then buy the crypto in South Africa, sell it overseas because it was cheaper for a period of time. Are you looking at those kind of transactions as well? Has that come to your notice?
Yes, it did. So we've got the, to be able to take out that money from South Africa, you have to apply for a foreign investment allowance, FIA. So that information we do have, and if on that application you indicate whether it's for crypto or whatever the reason is you're going to take out the money. So we have that data, and we are using that as well to determine or look at your compliance. Yes.
I was talking recently with somebody in the public sector who said you'd be amazed at how much we are using artificial intelligence algorithms, other technical tools to track down the aberrations. Is it something similar at SARS?
Yes, it is. We're using artificial intelligence tools. I think the commissioner is frequently alluding to that, as well as machine learning, so that we can identify risk through using these tools, and that we focus our efforts at the right place. Let's say so that we get the best yield in terms of our efforts. So certainly that is something that we use and implement.
So the world is getting smaller. And for people like yourselves, for the taxman, that's a good thing. For the public, the message presumably is just be honest. And if you've been dishonest, own up. Otherwise, it might be worse for you.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think what is important for us at SARS is that we want people to be voluntary and compliant. One of our objectives is that we want to make it easy for taxpayers to comply, for those who are and make it easy to comply, and also make it clear for them how to comply. But for those that is not compliant, I think one of our objectives is then to make it hard and costly for those. That can come through enforcement. Initiatives, and also I think what is important is that that for the crypto, especially we recently had at a meeting with other countries as part of the JITSIC working group. And what came out there is that other countries like the UK, USA, Sweden, and New Zealand is focusing a lot of attention on education, on making it clear or to their taxpayers what needs to be done. I think we want to do the same thing. I think, like I said earlier, voluntary compliance is the aim. We want people to comply without us doing enforcement. Yeah.
And so what are the risks? What are the penalties? If you have been trading in crypto assets and you think, well, okay, I'm going to ask for forgiveness when I get caught. What are the penalties if SARS has to catch you? In other words, if you have to find out about this through an audit process.
Now, we can raise penalties up to 200% if you didn't declare, which will, so that would be your the penalty of the capital amount. So, it's quite hefty.
It's very onerous indeed. And from here onwards, how much attention are you going to be giving to the crypto area? The taxman's got a wide remit.
We've got some measures in place, already in place. So some of it is sending out compliance letters to taxpayers with high-risk transactions. In the next few months, we would then increase this. We also have a unit that focuses on audits of this, of crypto assets. And we're busy implementing expanding that resources. So we advertise some positions, and we will soon appoint some additional auditors to assist with this talk with this task. Yeah, I think that like I earlier mentioned, the best practices that we've that came from other authorities. Focusing on awareness and education, that is important. There's some SARS is working on some guidance documents, which will then guide taxpayers exactly how to determine the taxability of crypto assets, and that will be published when approved. Yeah.
So if I can just to summarize. You do get the information from the crypto exchanges, not just in South Africa, but you might have access to them overseas as well.
That's correct. Yeah. We've already received some information from other authorities. You're right in your summary. We request information from the crypto asset exchanges. We're working with the FECA to get some information from them as well. And then, like you said, from other crypto, tax authorities, we get information from them.
And are you sitting on a naughty list? In other words, are you sitting on a list of people who you know have contravened regulations, but you're giving them a warning? Is that the reason for issuing the statement as you did this week, just to almost give people a last chance?
Yeah, exactly. So we've got information. We're working on a model where we can track the compliance of people that do crypto asset transactions. And you're right. I mean, this just to encourage people, and that's why we issued the statement earlier this week, is that to say, listen, you have opportunity if you're not compliant, please make use of the voluntary disclosure program, and like I say, as we're expanding our auditors, the number of auditors that's going to work on this, and we if you don't do it now, we will audit you, and like the penalties is going to be much higher than going through the voluntary disclosure program.
Bernard Kruger is the business area lead at SARS, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.